Welcome. You are listening to 2012 Journey to Evolution. I'm Tambourine Borelli, and I'll be with you for the next hour as we welcome the third installment of our Prophets Conference series. The Prophets Conference is an international organization dedicated to assisting in the birthing of a new humanity, and thereby the realization of the successful cultivation of a sustainable and workable world. Every year, they put on an event that brings some of the world's greatest visionaries and spiritual leaders just to share what they know, with the hopes of inspiring and enlightening those who are open to receive it. This year's conference is called 2012 Tipping Point, and it's held in Vancouver, and it will be from July 23rd to the 25th, with workshops going on to the 27th. Today, we're going to be giving away two tickets to that conference, and feel free to call in, firstly, with any questions of the guest I'm about to introduce, and secondly, to get your tickets to the conference. The number you can call in is 888-815-9756. I just want to say that I'm honored to be able to bring some of the speakers here to my show to give listeners a glimpse of what these great minds are up to, and especially when it comes to 2012. If you're interested in listening to the first two speakers that I hosted, you can access those links on our archive page. The first being Miguel Angel, who is an expert in Mayan prophecy, especially as it pertains to 2012. And the second, John Perkins, the New York Times best-selling author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and most recently, Hoodwinked. My next guest, some have described his life works as being a seed planter. He has an innate characteristic of a visionary and community developer. While still living in Santa Fe in the 70s, John Kimmy, my next guest, he became acquainted with the elders of the Hopi village of Hotavilla, Arizona. He became a student and traveling companion of the late Hopi prophet and village leader, David Monagy. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right.
Manonya.
Anyway, say it again.
Manonya.
I definitely was not pronouncing that right. John Kimmy is the author of Light on the Return Path. And this book has been described by some as the best overall synopsis of the pertinent aspects of the Hopi prophecy and its associated instruction for this time. John, welcome to the show. I'm very excited and honored to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for having me, Tambourine, and welcome to the new moon and another new cycle.
I love it. We were just talking about that off the air. That's something that my mother always keeps me up to date on. You know, it's a new moon in your 10th house, and that means working home. And I'm like, thanks, Mom. Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful time to be doing this interview. John is going to be one of the speakers, as I mentioned, at the Prophets Conference. And can you tell us just a little bit about what particular subject matter you're going to be covering later on in July?
Well, mostly I'm going to be covering the old tradition of oral tradition among the Hopis for the last 5,000 years, who put together and maintained orally a great body of knowledge, which has popularly in the modern time been called the Hopi prophecy. It is definitely significant from the standpoint of its past track record of 5,000 years of bringing clarity and direction to the Hopi people. It averted their cultural annihilation by the white man because they were warned ahead of time that he would come and they were given instructions. The interesting thing about the prophecy is true prophecy is a little different than what we call prophecy in the modern world today. We think of Nostradamus, for instance, as a prophet, and we call him a prophet. But true prophecy has two aspects. One is the an event that will take place or may take place. And it's accompanied by the second thing, which is so important, which is the instructions of how to respond to that particular event, as far as the best choices of how to respond. And so this direction has been the insulation, the cultural insulation and protection of the oldest indigenous culture inhabiting one place on Turtle Island in North America, and that's Hopi Land.
Now tell me, please, what is and how does the Hopi perspective pardon me. How does it differ from the Mayan?
Well, one difference that's very significant is that the Hopis had no calendar. They had they used the prophecy to tell what time it was at any given time, because they would keep their eyes open and recognize when one of these described events was occurring. And so that told them, as far as their cycle is concerned, where they were on the cycle. And today, if you consult with any elders out there, they will confirm that according to their chronology, they believe that 2012 is a very significant time.
Well, in your opinion, is it just a perspective and potential? Because as I look at it, there are infinite potentials of every different, quote, prophecy that, as you just mentioned earlier, it's a potential.
Yeah.
How do you see
it's
that?
Always a potential, but when you put them all together and you examine the whole picture of the cycle, that's where you start to get real insight into your own role in it. And that's what's so important, is that we're not observers watching this go down. We are in charge of how it goes down. And so we must understand the bigger picture. And that's where this large body of oral tradition has been so serviceable all of this time and reliable. The elders tell me that all of the occasions that have been described have actually taken place. And so you're right about its potential. And every time that the instructions come, the instructions reinforce that potential. It's not written in stone, so to speak, but the guidance is definitely important for us at this time. And I've been traveling all over the country and different parts of the world for the last 30 years discussing this and presenting this to people all over. And indigenous peoples all confirm it and are very glad to hear it, because in most cases they had a similar body of information that was either confused or obliterated by modern cultural incursions, whereas the Hopis have managed to keep theirs intact. And so the other indigenous tribes defer to them and are very glad to get this information. And people who don't have a tradition with these kinds of helpers in them can really benefit from this at this time. And in the many years that I've been doing this, I have seen the results of this, and it's the reason why I continue to do this work, is because I see that it really has tangible results as far as people's transformations are concerned.
Now, for instance, the perspective of the Mayan calendar, it would seem that it's been highly misunderstood. And would you say the same has been as far as the Hopi perspective?
Well, I certainly hear a lot of out-of-context quotes that are on computer nowadays, you know, that this says, the Hopi prophecy says this and that. I was instructed when I took on this responsibility 30 years ago to really tell the whole story from end to end, not try and excerpt it or take it out of context, because that's where confusion lies. So when I get up and talk, I have to talk for 3 hours straight. I start at the beginning and I go all the way to the end. And this is a rather unusual event in that it is the delivery of information for what the Hopis call from mouth to ear, which is has been the most reliable and serviceable form of communication in our human evolution. You know, once you write it down, somebody can edit it and change it.
Absolutely.
And so this is pure information that has been serviceable all this time, and that's why it's so important right now.
Firstly, I just ask you to bear with me. I'm getting over a chest cold and thought that I was pretty much healed, but it seems that the talking is aggravating it. So, again, please bear with me as I can squeak out a question or two and let you take the floor.
Well, I'll give long answers. How's that?
I love it. Okay, so what would you say is the Hopi's guidance for this time that we all are in and wondering, you know, what is going to go on? There's so many different perspectives and different ideologies in regard to this time frame, especially leading up to 2012. Would you say it is a perspective and guidance of a doom and gloom, or is it a perspective and guidance of hope and empowerment that we actually can create what is going to unfold by what we're holding in our consciousness? What would you
say? Well, first of all, we must understand that we're more powerful than we think. This is one of the things that the Hopi prophecy has really inspired me in my life, is just to stay in touch with my guidance and then follow that and not abandon it or try and get ahead of it or something like that, that we have available to us spirit guides that live outside of time and space and can see the whole picture. And so why not use that guidance? We're definitely foolish if we don't take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
And as far as the doom and gloom is concerned, the doom and gloom is what happens if we do nothing. And certainly that's the stakes, you know. We don't get a reprieve this time. This is called evolution, and in order to evolve, like my elders told me, they said, when you get to a point where you have to choose between the two paths of life, there's going to be an easy one and there's going to be a hard one. And you're much better off if you choose the hard one, because that's the creative path. The reactionary path is the easy path, the one that just immediately comes to mind, you know, whether it makes you angry or it makes you sad or depressed or, you know, whatever, and you might just spontaneously react. But you're much better off in these days if you use your discernment and take a few deep breaths and do something creative rather than reactionary. And I find that when you do that, you're walking the spiritual path. You're getting your guidance. We are creative beings. We're made in the Creator's image. And so when we begin the process of creation, we're never alone. We're always assisted along the way. And that is so important right now. I would say that the most important thing that the Hopi prophecy has to offer us right now is the perspective of the great polarities that have occurred in our own processes and the choices that we have made, to the point where the elders told me that I'd live to see the day when up was down, good was bad, right was wrong, yes was no. And here we are.
Here we are.
And they said that when you reach that point, there is only one escape, and that is 180 degrees. In other words, the opposite of what's going down right now is where we need to go, is how we need to return to balance.
Now, can you give an example of that for our listeners?
Well, let's just take the gender wars. Over 50% of Americans are living as singles these days, and that's unprecedented in human history. And so the polarities between males and females is very, very important. And resolution of that is going to bring people back into balance. It's going to bring love back. And so we could sure use a bunch of that.
We absolutely could. The polarization of all of those, the good, the bad, the right, the wrong, the male, the female, I see this time that we're stepping into as not necessarily going the opposite, like it's been patriarchal, not necessarily going all the way to the opposite side of the matriarch or the goddess era, but a time where we finally integrate both.
Exactly.
You know, like the accepting of the masculine within femininity and the femininity within masculinity and the oneness that we all are, and celebrating those differences.
That's right. That's right. You know, a few years back, or probably about 10 years now, something came out on the computer that I received, and I traced it down and found out the author of it, a man named Thomas Banyakya from New Arabi, who put this together. And I'd like, if I may, I'd like to read it to you.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
This is known as the Hopi Elder's Statement. You have been telling the people that this is the 11th hour. Now, you must go back and tell the people that this is the hour, and there are things to be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in right relation? Where is your garden? Know your garden. It is time to speak your truth. Create your community and be good to each other. And do not look outside yourself for the leader. This could be a good time. There is a river flowing now, very fast. It is so great and fast that there are those who will be afraid. They will hold on to the shore. They'll feel that they are being torn apart and they will suffer greatly. Know that the river has its destination. The elders say that we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river, and keep our eyes open and our heads above the water. See who's in there with you, and celebrate. At this time, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves, for the moment that we do, our spiritual growth comes to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we've been waiting for. The Elders of Arabi, Arizona, Hopi Nation.
Wow. That was
it really covers it, doesn't it?
Oh my God. I got chills.
You know, that this thing about the river flowing very fast, it's something to remember, you know, as we feel this feeling of time speeding up and the condensation of events, one right after another in our life, is all leading toward something that we can't even know exactly what it is. When we say that the river has its destination, that's all we need to know. We don't need to know exactly how it's all going to come about. All we have to know is that that river is our life path, our evolutionary path. And in order to join it 100%, you have to push off from the shore. And why are people at the shore? Because they're attached to insignificant things. that are making them suffer because they can't extract themselves from those things. And I think a lot of us are going through this just by virtue of the times we live in now, of reevaluating what's important and having to discard some things in order to assume some new things and to make room for vision to occur in our lives, because that vision is definitely our guidance and direction. And so there's a visionary inside each one of us. And we must truly be in touch with the source of the vision in order to get it. So practice, practice, practice is what I always tell people is, if you have a way to, through meditation or yoga or prayer or whatever it is that gets you in touch with that higher state of consciousness, then the guidance can come through. And you, I always, there's four things that I was given years ago. One is wake up. The second one is pay attention. The third one is listen to your instructions. And the fourth one is act upon them immediately. And we must live in the moment in order to do that. So if we're dwelling in the past, we're hanging on to the shore. If we're anticipating the future and becoming confused because there's various signs about the future, we're confused. And living in the moment and being able to see ourselves as a catalyst for growth and change, starting with ourselves, we can truly evolve. I like to say, when in doubt, mutate.
You know, the thing is that the root of that, it is the key to the evolution. And the problem that I've observed is that, you know, most people that are depressed, it's lack of self-expression, lack of expressing that creative part that is our innate connection to that source of that creator that created all of us. So when, as you said, we're attached to these things and other ways of life that disconnect us by nature, in its very nature, it's designed to disconnect us from that creative part. Like having to, you know, God, I can't tell you how many people have come to me and says, you know, I feel like I'm trapped. I feel like I have to go to this job that, you know, I'm just dead at. You know, I want to know how can I live my dream and still, you know, support myself. The fears that come from losing all of the stuff and all of the things that really don't seem to be making any of us happier. You know,
that's right. Well, you know, this time is fraught with both risks and potential. And you can't fulfill the potential unless you risk. And people who have been in the comfort zone all their lives certainly are very disturbed about the possibilities of not having three meals a day or a roof over your head or something like that. And yet those things are all part of it being attached to the shore. You
yeah.
have to push out into the middle of the river, and you're not going to be alone in there. There's so many people who are already pushed off and are in there that those are what the Hopi people call the one-hearted people, the people you can trust. I was told in a ceremony one time, blessed are the members of a circle of trust.
Mm.
And that goes so far, you know, when you think about, okay, what all these unknowns that are facing me right now, am I going to face them all alone, or am I going to face them in a collective consciousness? And that's where your greatest survivability is as a member of a greater body of intelligence. And that's where they say, you know, the time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves and be good to each other. This is the time to come back into harmony with each other. And it's one thing to talk about love and peace. It's another thing to practice it. And I think that's where, when we start feeling those anxieties, this is the antidote for those anxieties, is to get out among your community members and join up and see where you can be effective in creating positive change. That's empowering, and you won't feel that anxiety if you do that.
Because we are innately connected, all of us, and when we have reminders of that, I believe that it gives us that dose of oneness. I can't put it any simpler than that. The reminder that we all are one. And personally, I'll say that no matter how terrified I've ever been, each time that I've leaped into the unknown, to a new stage of development, a new version of myself, no matter how scared that I was, the new reality was always greater than the one that I was so afraid to leave behind. The even people that I had left behind that were associated with the previous reality. Once I stepped into that new reality, there were always others waiting to be a part of my life and be of assistance to that new version of myself that I was allowing to unfold.
That's how you know you're being creative. That's how you know, is when you get the confirmation from your loved ones, and life becomes a little easier because of your choice and the risk that you took. This is so important right now. The elders, you know, were so had such an emphasis at this time on this resolution thing. And they said that it starts at the very heart of things, which is your relationship with yourself. Are you maintaining your health? Are you maintaining your sanity? Are you able to, like I said earlier, get in touch with higher consciousness? When you do that, then the second step is create resolution in your immediate environment, starting with your mother. Your relationship with your mother and resolution there is very, very fundamental to your own evolution. And it's true with your father as well. And then your siblings. And then your children. And if you have grandchildren, your grandchildren. You know, I got great-grandchildren, so I work on it all the time.
You have plenty of material to go from.
Yeah, and, you know, one old man told me one time, he gave me a great gift. He says, you know, human beings sure try and create a lot of stuff, but the thing that they're best at creating is relationships, because they outlive them.
Mm.
And I think that is really important, because we tend to think of relationships as transitory. You know, this is why there are so few people married today, is because they said, oh, well, I've been there and done that. I got the T-shirt. I'm going on, you know.
Right.
And if you truly come from your heart and you are not listening to the chatter of your mind, then you can truly enter into relationships in a much deeper level. There's a level of communication that's happening right now that is deeper than all of this cyber communication and telephones and TVs and all this stuff, and that is the communication that comes from your heart. And I call it, I had to give it a new name because we don't have a name for it. I call it communication.
Yeah.
And when you enter into a relationship, or you would like to initiate a relationship, be totally humble and true to yourself, and what will come out of your mouth will be able to be appreciated by the person who you're eliciting a relationship with. You know, if you're trying to impress them right off the bat, or you're shy and you think you're not worthy of that relationship, then that will come across too.
Absolutely, it will.
If you're truly coming from your heart rather than your head, you will actually be cultivating relationships. Grandfather David used to tell me, he said, you know, at the end of all of his deliveries, he would say the same thing, and that is, may the fragrance of love enter every heart here, And as you look around to one another, to recognize each other as brothers and sisters, because that is truly what you are. And that means, you know, like we all have siblings, most of us, and we know that of all the relationships that have come and gone, that those relationships we're stuck with. We have to make them work. And if we look at that with all the people that we associate with, as brothers and sisters, and then those relationships will enter a deeper state that will outlive us.
I believe that there's much power in that perspective, and I'm interested in going deeper in especially the subject having to do with the heart. And just quickly, I'll say before we break that as much work as I've done in the mind, it wasn't until I realized that true evolution, from my perspective, comes when we take the consciousness down into our heart. That is where the power is. And I'm looking forward to delving a little deeper into that when we return with John Kimmy. Thanks, John. We'll be right back.
Wanna know, won't you take me there? I wanna go far down the rabbit hole. Won't you take me there? Take me back to a place where I never die and never cry. And never again ask you why. A diamond sprinkled in the sky, to the left, and you open your eyes. I wanna know, won't you take me there? I wanna be to take me there. Take me back to the place where I never die.
I will never die.
And never cry. Never again.
And we are back with John Kimmy, exploring the subject matter of the heart. I just said, for those of you who are just tuning in, I said that as much work as I've done exploring the power of mind and how that relates to our evolution, it hasn't been until recent time that I've really experienced a broader perspective in terms of evolution truly being and coming from the heart. John, please share what we just were talking about in the break. I think it's powerful, and our listeners will benefit from that perspective. Please share with us.
Well, probably one of the oldest trite phrases, at least in the English language, is, that's very interesting. I'll take it to heart.
Right.
And when we take it to heart, that's where our discernment can come from. You know, our mind is, our ego is a little tape recorder that is a very handy thing to have because it identifies who gets out of bed in the morning and what it is you're going to do with your day. And that's very important. But the ego can't tell us anything about the moment beyond now. It can only tell us what we have been and what we have done. And so that's its limitation. So if we really want to know who we can be and where we can go and how we can be, those are all questions that are only going to come from the answers that are going to come from the heart.
Absolutely. You know, I just got that we have a caller. Would you like to take a caller and a question from our listeners?
Sure.
Sure. Okay. We have Don from Washington. Don, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully well and enjoying your program.
Beautiful. Do you have a question for John today?
Yeah, so what struck a bell with me is when you talked about putting your consciousness in your heart. And, you know, it all throughout my whole long life, I never knew how to do that. But recently I wondered if you had heard of the cortices techniques in the body talk system.
No, I haven't.
Yeah. If you look on YouTube, there's the inventor of it, a guy named Dr. John Veltman, under the title The Body Talk System, The Cortices Technique Demo, Part 2. It will teach you exactly how to connect your heart with both hemispheres of the brain in a very unique way, which turns the power of your humanity up to unbelievable levels.
Don, thank you so much for that information.
I just wondered if you'd heard of that.
It's great, Don, that you called in and said that because, you know, right now we all are availing ourselves, if we're at all searching, of the highest order of intelligence that we as human beings can muster. They say that all the sacred books are open now, that there are no secrets. All we have to do is have a desire to find out and to learn, and all of these things are at our fingertips, and I think that is so gratifying and empowering. I just was handed a book about a month ago that I'm still just poring over that is called the Cobran Bible, which is an ancient text that has been protected through all of the different civilizations since probably Sumeria that is now published and it's out. And I'm just thrilled about it. And I find that all of these things that are available to us almost jump into our arms if we are looking. If we are looking for greater clarity or guidance, that it always is provided. So don't despair and keep searching.
Thank you, Don.
Yeah,
for your
it only took 72 years of seeking to find this. I find that
well,
amazing.
I'm 70 myself, and I know how that is.
Well, thank you for being on the air. Bye.
Thanks, Don. You know, it's interesting, John. I'm finding more than ever now there are countless ways that whatever you want to call it, source, the creator, is making available for every person that is looking and is genuinely searching for that higher version. And because there's so many versions of us, you know, and so many different perspectives and ways that we look at things, that's why there are so many different avenues that are being opened up. So no one gets left behind. There's always that information that someone somewhere will be able to have access to.
Somebody told me one time, you're either on the way or in the way.
Right. Exactly. So we were talking about the heart, and specifically in regard to evolution, and I really liked what you were saying in terms of getting back into our relationship with Mother Earth and taking our consciousness to get to know her as she gets to know us. We have become strangers with her, and nothing drives that home more than turning on the television or seeing on the internet the frightful pictures of what's going on in the Gulf. And I wondered if you had any perspective on that.
Well, I think that at this time we have to see the internet as a tool of creativity and not passivity. I think that's one of the great problems we have, is that there are very great talented people with skills that are sitting on their butt in front of their computer all the time, and they're not offering them up to the community, and that's a real shame.
Yeah, I totally can see that. The one way that people who are on the computer, I've observed doing and being of assistance, is there has been an overwhelming outcry, but healers from all over, no matter what their modality is. I have observed such an influx of those who know and believe that they have the power to help on a consciousness level. They might not be out there on the sand or in the water, but on a consciousness level, like, say, for instance, Dr. Masura Emoto, I believe his name is.
Yeah, the water man.
The water man, absolutely. I saw actually on Facebook a beautiful prayer that he has put out, and literally hundreds of thousands of people are moving it around the internet, and it's the Hawaiian, how do you pronounce it, Ho'oponopono, something like that?
Yeah, Ho'oponopono.
Yes, that's it. It's, I'm sorry, forgive me, thank you, I love you. And
yeah,
to direct that to all the whales, all the dolphins, all of the pelicans and fish and every living being, especially Terra or Gaia, however you refer to her, just extending that heartfelt prayer and knowing that it absolutely is affecting that area and all living things associated with it.
That's right. Well, it reminds me that I wanted to mention that I have recently published an unusual book. It is honoring the oral tradition of the Hopis. It is a audio book of actually 12 CDs. It's a six-hour story, but it's three books. It's called the Jack Hopper Trilogy, and Jack Hopper is the main character, who happens to be a coyote, and he teams up with a boy, a horse, and an eagle, and they go through these times of the future together. And what it does is it gives us a little, blazes a little trail into this future of possibilities for the kinds of changes that we can make along the way. And it's based on the Hopi prophecy. And it has, the first book is Jack Hopper and the Power Crisis, about the Earth changes that are coming up. And the second book is Jack Hopper and the Time of Purification. The Hopis say that we're in this time of purification, leading to the final day of purification of this fourth world, this cycle of four worlds that we are just completing. And then the third book is Jack Hopper in the Fifth World. So I extrapolate from the visions of the elders that I've discussed this with and my own dreams and visions of what it will look like after the day of purification and what we will be doing in order to create this fifth world, the world of total peace and harmony. And so I highly recommend it to people who have, you know, practically everybody's looking at 2012, but they're not looking beyond.
See, now that's the whole point. That's what I am really wanting to get across, that there is an after that. You know that expression, hereafter?
Yeah.
You know, where? Here where? Here on earth. When? After what? After the proposed doomsday that it seems like it's going to stop there. It's not going to stop there. The point is, it all exists from my perspective.
Yeah, well, if you look at evolution, there's always a time in which the environment changes to such an extent that the organisms have to evolve or perish. And this is happening continually throughout the biological evolution of our planet. And so it stands to reason that our time would come, that we would reach this point of having to come back into balance and walk what the Hopis call the true path of life. They say that when Creator made human beings, he gave us a way to be in harmony with the universe, just like everybody, like every other creature. The only thing that makes us different is in his being created in the spirit image, that we have the power through our will to create a better situation, or if we will not to become extinct. And that's just the way evolution works. And so that's what's happening now for us, and it's a tremendously wonderful opportunity. Because when we join together and join hearts with Mother Earth, we have the potential of having the most amazing and wonderful lifetime that we could possibly have.
It's true, John.
You know, we say that our way of life is something that is different than all the other creatures. The only reason it's different is we willed it. We chose it. And that same will can bring it back into balance. And that's where someday we won't need the internet, because we will have the inner net.
Right. Like the ancient Lemurians, who is said to be the Hawaiians are their descendants. They were highly in tune with that. They didn't need any technology because they were the technology. And I think that when we get more and more into the knowingness of that, when we truly connect to the powerful and beautiful beings that we are and connect back with Gaia, with Terra, Mother Nature, you know, take off our shoes, go out, walk on the earth, you know, look at every form of life and understand that there is no difference. It's only an illusion that the little bug is different than the bird, or the bird is different than the pet that is in the house and a member of the family, or the pet in regard to a human being. They're all just different garments. We're all wearing different clothes, but we all are the same life force. And I think when we plug into that we are on to something. We are on to what it looks like beyond 2012. We're on to that reality. And when we tune into that station, we can't help but listen to that music. You're not going to hear country music when you're dialed into a disco station. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, well, my website, my personal website is www.dancingawakethefifthworld.com. And the reason I called it that is because I see life as a dance. I see that we are truly, if we are in harmony, then, you know, we're in the chorus line. We are part of the dance, and our synchronicity with everything else becomes easier and easier the more we do it. And so we need to dance awake that fifth world. So if you want more information on that, then that's my personal website, and there's a lot of information on there. And then the Jack Hopper website is www.jackhoppertrilogy.com. And both of those are have a lot of great information in them. And I highly recommend the Jack Hopper book. If you do any traveling this summer and you have a CD player in your car, I highly recommend that you take the time to listen to this, because it's written in the old-fashioned style of storytelling, and it's good for the whole family. There's nothing in there that you wouldn't want to expose your children to. And it's very written in such a way that the children also can get a very deep learning and teaching from it.
That's beautiful, John. Tell us, where else can we find you? What else are you up to? I know you're going to be at the Prophets Conference July 23rd through the 27th, but where else are you going to be?
Well, after that, I'm going to be driving over to Salmon Arm, British Columbia, which is a small town in the upper Shuswap Lake area, where I've been before, and my friends there have sponsored me, so I will be doing one there the following week after the Prophets Conference for anybody listening in Canada. And then on September 27th, I am going to lead a pilgrimage across the Colorado Plateau, starting at the Grand Canyon. It's going to be a 10-day trip, and it's sponsored by the Prophets Conference. We're going to be traveling in buses and staying in hotels, but we will be traveling and visiting some of the sacred places that have moved me over the years that I like to share with people, and we'll do it in a ceremonial fashion, in a real pilgrimage. So it'll be quite an experience for everybody who comes, and I highly recommend it as a rite of passage.
Oh, my God, that sounds so powerful.
Yeah, it is. I've done it before, and it definitely is. Everybody who's ever taken part in it has gone through some major transformations as a result. So I want to offer that up again.
Well, John, I just want to thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us today and sharing some of your wisdom and the Hopi prophecies, and I think that what you have to say is valid and very important.
Well, thanks.
And thank you for bearing with me with my little cough here. I think we had a respite through most of the interview, but now it's wanting to say its piece before I sign off. I want to thank Robin Haynes Johnson. She is one of the founders of the Prophets Conference. She's been so gracious, and she is offering two tickets to the conference every show. So please feel free to contact me through the station and give us your email, and we'd be happy to give you two tickets each show until now, from now until July 23rd, I believe, when the Prophets Conference begins. So hopefully we'll hear from you. And John, Kimmy, thank you again, and we look forward to hearing more from you, and I look forward to meeting you. I believe I'll be at the conference.
Excellent. Good. Well, I hope you're in good health then.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I'll be fine. Thank you so much, and have a beautiful rest of the day. And everyone else, we'll see you next week. Same time, same bat channel. Have a beautiful weekend.